very, very adamant in talking about this this conversation with Mike Richards, who is now a member of the Manchester Monarchs and a potential link with the Calgary Flames. In fact, if you go check out the Calgary Sun Sports section today online or in your paper, he's got the story. There's interest there. And so what are the possibilities of that potentially happening? Mr. Francis joins us right now. Hello, Eric.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad you can make some time for us today, and I'm very happy to have you on the program. First of all, and there's been a few rumors about it. There's been plenty of conversation about it, but from what you've heard and from who you've talked to, there have been conversations, and the Flames have at the very least entertained talks when coming to Mike Richards. Would that be an accurate statement?
That is accurate. I can confirm that the Calgary Flames have had numerous talks with the LA Kings about Mike Richards, and long before he went on waivers. This is something obviously right. The Kings have been contemplating for some time. And you know, I'd be the first to say, you know, I mean, you could have quite the debate on whether or not you think that this could work out for the Flames. And that's, I guess, what you and I will do right now. But a lot of people are having that debate too. Half the people I've talked to just frown instantly and say, are you kidding me? And the other half are like, well, the guy's won everywhere he's gone. He could be a good leader for the young guys, and they could use that sort of experience and such. So, you know, to criticize the Flames for talking to the Kings obviously would be foolish. I mean, it's due diligence. I mean, every GM in the league should be talking to the LA Kings to just find out what they're thinking, because here's my thinking on what would have to happen if the Kings were to be able to free themselves of this horrific contract. They would have to obviously either pay for a large portion of Richard's salary for the near future, right, for the duration of the contract. They would also probably have to offer up a very prominent prospect, either a first-rounder or a Tanner Pearson or a Tyler Toffoli type, or some combination of all those things. And also, if the Flames were, say, dealing with them, they would be able to get rid of at least one bad contract in the Flames' eyes. Like, okay, we'll trade you somebody who we think is a little overpriced right now. And you know, somewhere in there could be a good fit. It would have to be very creative, and it would have to be something where the Kings would have to realize it's not a hockey deal. When I read comments from Dean Lombardi saying, you know, basically trying to justify that Mike Richards is still going to be a very valuable contributor to a hockey team, it makes me think that there's no way they're going to be able to trade him, because this is nothing more than a salary dump in most people's eyes. And that's the way the Kings are going to have to look at it if they're going to be realistic about getting rid of him.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, you're not making a trade to bring in Mike Richards for necessarily what Mike Richards brings you. You're doing it more as, okay, we've got the salary room, and can you give us an asset along with it to help you out? Like, basically, what the Flames are offering, their cap space is their asset in this conversation, right?
Exactly. And we heard that from Jay Feaster endlessly about how, you know, that's a serious weapon. That's something that the Calgary Flames can use to their advantage moving forward, because so many teams, especially contenders, are right up against the cap. And when you're one of the few teams that has oodles and oodles of room, it opens the possibility for creativity. Now, does a rookie GM, and, you know, I hate calling him a rookie GM, because Brad's been an assistant GM in this league for a long, long time and has kind of been there, done that. But for a rookie GM whose reputation is on the line here with every trade you make, would he be willing to put his neck out there and make some sort of deal like this? Because even if you do land yourself a Tanner Pearson, a Tyler Toffoli, or a first-round draft pick or some top prospect, You still also theoretically will have Mike Richards in your organization for another 5 years. And that's something that people will be reminded of every time the team faces off. Now, you know, is that something you want? I mean, that's a scary, daunting prospect. It could be worth it if the right deal comes along, but man, you really got to have some stones to be able to do something like that, I think.
Eric Francis with us. Well, The thing is, I mean, I understand it in theory, and I certainly get how the Flames could be able to be in that position. They've got the cap space, and they're looking for assets and stuff like that. I just don't know if the Kings are going to be able or going to be willing to give up what the Flames would actually want to take back. Like, you're not, if you're Brad Treleving, if you're Brian Burke, you're not making this deal to help the team, right? You're not doing this deal to help the Kings out. You're doing this to try and take advantage of them. You're almost trying to be a bit of a bully here and say, no, we'll help you out. We'll take this bad contract off your hands, but you better make it pretty sweet. So if you're Brad Treleving, you're almost having to play hardline on it and say, no, you give us something good or you can beat it, because why would you help him out otherwise, right?
100%. And that's why, I wrote the story today. I spoke about it on the broadcast last night, confirming that the Flames have had talks with them. I am not subscribing to the belief that the Flames are actually going to be able to find something that is a fit. Mm. Because, like I said, this is pretty risky. But I do think it's interesting. And, you know, as we get closer to the deadline, there are going to be other issues like this with players around the league who probably are more useful than Mike Richards. But they come with quite the handcuff in terms of their contract. So it's kind of an eye-opener for fans to think, oh, yeah, I guess maybe if the right scenario came to fruition, yeah, I could see this. But at the end of the day, you're still getting a guy who's considered by everyone in the league to be too slow, not fit enough, maybe not, as focused as a player as you need. Like, would that guy fit under Bob Hartley's charge? I can't see that happening in a million years. But, again, I guess anything's possible. Just it's interesting fodder anyway.
It certainly is interesting fodder. The only way I see it making sense is from a you get an asset conversation, because I don't even think that from a hockey perspective he helps this team all that much, because I think right now Matt Stajan is as effective as Mike Richards is. I mean, Mike Richards is not a super effective player. He's a third or a fourth line center at best at this point. Now, all the other intangible stuff, that's great, but from a hockey perspective, I'm not sure it makes a ton of sense. But from an organizational perspective, yeah, I guess I can see it. He's Eric Francis from the Calgary Sun joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. But here's the amazing thing, Francis, and we'll let you go in just a couple of minutes. But the Flames, are having these conversations, and this is somewhat of a thing, and yet they're 3 points up on the LA Kings, not 3 points back. The Flames currently have a 3-point edge on the LA Kings for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference, which makes this conversation all the more intriguing.
Yeah, and here's where it gets really interesting. I mean, I think that going into this season, I would venture a guess that Brian Burke, Brad Treleving, and all those guys at the top were thinking, okay, as we get close to the deadline, obviously we're going to make moves with an eye 100% on the future. That is now going to be something they have to debate a little more, because, yeah, I mean, you can't trade for the future and yet, what sort of a message do you send if you're trading clearly for the future? You take someone that's helping you right now for someone who will help you down the road. Meanwhile, you're fighting tooth and nail to try and get into a playoff spot. So I think that mentality has changed, and it will have to continue to evolve, because again, if this team falls out of the playoff spot, say they lose 10 in a row right now, then you could look at a Mike Richards deal a little closer. If they stay in this race, which it looks like they're going to for a little while here anyway, at the very least, that changes everything. It changes the entire way you look at it. It's like flipping a coin. You're either a buyer or you're a seller, or in the National Hockey League, you're the Winnipeg Jets, somewhere in between.
Yeah, it's they're pretty astonishing. In between. Yeah, it's bizarre the way things look right now in the Western Conference. I'm really curious as to how that affects things once we get to the trade deadline in about 5 weeks. All right, Francis, thanks for doing this, man, and we'll see how this whole Mike Richards thing plays out, whether it's with the Flames or with another team. It's a very fascinating time right now in the career of a guy who was once a no-doubt elite player, and how quickly things have fallen for a guy like that. Thanks for coming on with us this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem, man. Cheers.